You know, it's easy for me to get up here sometimes and just talk numbers, right? And me to talk to you about numbers and things that we're doing down at the building with trucks coming in and things like that. But for the last couple months, and I wanted to do more than just talk numbers. I wanted to show you some pictures. And so I have some pictures of just things that we've done this in the last couple weeks. We took a pallet of drinks that we received to the baseball team, and those boys unloaded it. I was glad because I didn't want to unload that pallet. They unloaded it, and then we've blessed other churches. Several other churches have come through. This is just a few of them. Cody, you can just keep scrolling. That have come through, and we've been able to bless their church to take stuff back to their community. You know, when we built this building, it was for us, of course, to be able to bless our community. But the vision behind the building was not just to bless our community, but to bless the surrounding communities. And so with what we've been able to do with giving stuff to other ministries and other churches where they've been able to take it back to their communities and reach their communities with the gospel has been great. And I just appreciate your sacrificial giving and your praying as we continue moving forward with this ministry. We went to Fine Arts this weekend and we had a good time, and the kids did great, and I'm super proud of all of them, but two of them advanced to nationals. So Jacob Jones advanced with this short sermon, and Anna with some of her photography, and I'm really proud of them. So we'll be trekking to Orlando in August to take them to nationals, so you're going to be seeing some more things about that in the coming future. You know, this year we've talked about the three key components, right? That Jesus hits in Matthew chapter 6. We've talked about fasting, and I'm believing that we need to fast this year. At different from throughout the year, I'm believing for fast to take place, and that through fasting we're going to see things happen. And we've talked about praying, and we have prayer meetings every Tuesday evening and every Thursday morning. If you ever want to just decide to pop in and join us Tuesday night at 6:30 or 6 o'clock, Thursday mornings at 5 a.m. We would love for you to be a part of that. And if you come to the 5 a.m. one, I will get you something special. See, and you can't know what it is unless you come. So there. But we've talked about being generous and giving. That's the other thing that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 6. And I've told you that I felt like this year would be marked by fasting and believing. And so I'm believing that we're going to see promises begin to unfold in this house. And I talked to you a little bit about last week about during the Easter season, we are going to specifically be preaching and praying for the prodigals. And I ask you to continue to start praying for them now. And this is a collaboration of several churches that have come together, and we're going to for the same goal, to see prodigals come in. Right? That's our goal this year. And that's what I had been feeling it. And then there were some other pastors that we began to talk to about it. And we just decided that we would work towards this together. So we have a video for that to prepare us. So we're going to start the Come Home season, or the Welcome Home series, on Easter Sunday, and it'll go through Mother's Day, and I'm excited to see what happens during that time. And last Sunday, we had a precursor to the Welcome Home series, and we talked about Mephibosheth and coming to the table of grace, and I'm really excited about what God's going to do, because I'm just believing that God is going to move in the prodigals' lives. And prodigals are not people who went to another church. Prodigals who have gotten away from God and are not going anywhere, and they come back to Him. You know, in life there are things that we are asked to do that aren't fun. Have you ever been asked to do something that you didn't enjoy doing? You know, as kids, our parents ask or tell us to do things that aren't fun. And then we look at things, and when I think about that, and I think about things that I've even asked my own kids to do, I know that it's not fun. But they still have to be done, right? Even the not fun things still have to be done. I don't particularly have fun folding laundry, but you know what? It has to be done. I don't particularly care for washing dishes, but it has to be done. You know, and so there are things that we have to do or that we do that aren't fun. And there are things that we are asked to do that aren't fun. And when I think about that, when it comes to God, God asks us to do things throughout our lives that's just not fun. It's just, you read scripture and he asks people to do things. And I look at that and go, man, that couldn't have been fun. That wasn't easy. And it, over the last year, I felt that not so fun at times. There have been things that I felt and been prompted to do by the Holy Spirit that just wasn't fun or enjoyable. And this phrase has been rolling around in my spirit for months, and even probably a year at this point, of when obedience ain't fun. And the question that when obedience isn't fun, or when obedience ain't fun, are we going to continue on? I was looking at some situations throughout Scripture where God asked guys to do things that aren't fun, and I thought, man, that it truly is. It's not fun. And every time I would open the Scripture last year, I would look at those guys and I would say, okay, God, what are you saying to me? Just unusual obedience. People who stepped out and did things that was just out of the ordinary, and things that weren't fun or weren't easy. And every time I opened the Word, it felt like that I ended up in one of those situations reading a story about another guy in the Scripture or another lady in the Scripture who did things out of obedience that just wasn't fun. And when obedience isn't fun, what do we do? How do we respond? Do we continue on even when it's not fun? All last year I felt this question to my core. I remember talking to one of my close friends about, at one point, about something that God was asking me to do that I didn't really want to particularly do it. And I just said, you know, being obedient's not always fun. It's not easy. And it's not. And as I look through Scripture, we see God ask people to do hard things. I think about Noah. God speaks to him about building a boat, and then he doesn't hear from God for 100 years, yet he continued to build the boat. When everyone else was looking at this guy going, you are nuts, you're insane, yet he continued on. He continued building. The dude worked for 100 years building a boat, and I can't even imagine the ridicule that he received during that time from his community, from his own family. Because, you know, sometimes the largest negative people in your life, the ones with the loudest voice, are the people closest to you, your family. And he did all of this work, and he worked all this time for all of these years and telling people that there was going to be a flood, and only convinced 7 people to join him on the boat. And I would venture to say that he really only convinced 4, his wife and his sons convinced their wives. For 100 years, Noah walks out faith. He walks out obedience, doing exactly what God had asked him to do. And only 7 people joined him? That's madness. Noah was doing exactly what God was asking him to do, yet he still faced rejection. It's not always fun being obedient, especially when people don't understand what you're doing. I can hear his mother-in-law now. I can't believe he's making those boys build that boat. He's a fool. Net water will never get there. Maybe y'all don't have a negative mother-in-law like I do. I'd sell her to her face. I do. So you don't have to worry about that. Maybe you don't have family like me who don't understand when you're doing something that God is asking you to do. Maybe you don't battle those things, but I'm sure Noah battled moments. Moments of doubt. There were probably days that he felt like a failure. There were probably days that he didn't want to continue, but he still said yes. He still said yes to the plan. He still said yes to the call. He still said yes to the voice of God, even though he didn't understand it completely. I think about Abraham. God tells Abraham to leave his home and everything he knows to follow after him. And he would receive an inheritance. He was leaving everything he knew. And the scripture says that the next day, Abraham got up and started on the way. Anytime God speaks to Abraham, it was like, the scripture says, the next day, Abraham got up. No matter how crazy or how ridiculous or how hard it may be, the next day, he got up and he said yes. And he walked on. He said yes to what God was asking him to do. God promised Abram more descendants than stars in the sky and sand on the earth. And he promises Isaac. And Isaac is born. In Genesis 21 verse 1 it says, "The Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he promised." The Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he promised. She became pregnant and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God had said it would. And Abraham named his son Isaac. The Lord kept his word. What promise has he made in your life? And you're wondering, is he going to keep his word? He did exactly what he promised, a bouncing boy, and everyone is excited when the promise was fulfilled, and then obedience got hard. Because the next chapter in Genesis 22, verse 1, it says, Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. "Abraham," God called out. "Yes," he replied, "here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering at one of the mountains which I will show you." And the next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. And then he chopped wood for a fire, for a burnt offering, and set out to the place God had told him about. I can't imagine this was a fun experience for Abraham. I can't imagine him saying, "This will be fun today. I'm going to sacrifice my son that you promised me, God. This is going to be fun." I'm sure that in some ways, Abraham, the moment he said yes, already began to grieve the loss. I'm sure he didn't want to do it. It certainly wasn't easy. But the scripture says that the next morning he said yes. He said yes to the promise of an inheritance. He said yes to the hard things. We know the end of the story. We know that God provided a ram in the place of Isaac, but Abraham didn't know the ram would be there. He didn't know that it was going to be there. He didn't know what would happen. He believed God would show up, but he still said yes. The thing is with Noah and Abraham, they did what God asked them to do. Fun or not, they pushed through. They said yes. When it was hard, they said yes. When it was easy, they said yes. There are times that God has asked, and it's been an easy yes. It's an easy yes. Last night, God asked me to do something. It was an easy yes. It was an easy yes. It's an easy yes for me to go and pray for someone. It's an easy yes for me to step out and speak to someone. Not always, but most of the time. It gets harder when God asks me to do something more. It's harder for me to go out of my way. It's easy when I'm standing in front of someone and God says, speak to him. It's harder when he says, I want you to call and speak to that person. October of 2023, I was on the flight back from Zambia, and I was just talking to the Lord. We had a long time in that plane. And I was thanking him for what had happened, and my mind had already started thinking about 2024 and what it would look like. And I was talking to him about the building and what we were going to owe. And I asked him how we were going to pay the bills. And he said, do you trust me? And of course I do trust him. But the more I thought about that and the more that I prayed about it, the more I felt like he was saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? By the time I got off the plane, I knew that I was supposed to give up my salary, but I kept it to myself. And he kept saying, do you trust me? And I'm like, God, I trust you. But it's not easy. The past 3 years, into the first week of December, we go out to Nashville for a conference. And I told Chelsea the week before we left for that conference what God had been dealing with me about. And we talked about it a little bit on the way out there, but I didn't talk to anyone else. I didn't talk to anyone at the conference about it. The only person that knew at this point was that God was speaking to me was Chelsea and I. That was it. I didn't tell anyone else. We were at that conference, and through conversations and just the Spirit of God, I just felt a peace. I never told anyone what was happening, but I just felt a peace about it. I don't really know how to describe the peace, but I just felt at peace. I came back in the next week, I told the board, and I just felt the peace. Obedience isn't easy. Throughout 2024, God showed up in big ways. I was able to continue to pay my bills. We were able to grow our business as well. And there were lots of asks. There were some that were easy, and there were some that made absolutely zero sense. And there were some that were very, very difficult. In July, God began to deal with me again. And he began to deal with me about selling our farm. And we bought that property with the intentions of building a house on it. We even attempted. But every attempt that we made, there was a closed door. And we couldn't shake the feeling in July that we needed to sell it. So in October, we had the auction and we sold everything, including the land. And of all the things God asked us to do in 2024, that was the hardest for me. Because of our plans, because of our dreams, I felt like that I was putting a dream to rest. I have the blueprint to the house that we were going to build. I had cleared the spot where we were going to build it. And I felt like I was putting a dream to bed. It felt like I was burying it. And I think about Abraham standing at that altar ready to sacrifice Isaac. And I have to think that Abraham felt the same way. I'm about to put a dream to death. I'm about to put my plans to death. I'm about to put this thing that I've dreamed about, that I've prayed about, that I've sought God about, and it's about to go away. In verse 9 of chapter 22, it says, when they arrived at the place where God had told them to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. And then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. This is the promise This is the dream. All my plans are tied to this boy. Why is this necessary? I've been obedient with everything you've asked me to do. I've left my home not knowing where I was going to follow after you. I've given up my family to follow you. I've went wherever you've asked me to go. I've done whatever you've asked. Why do I have to kill the dream, the plan, the promise? And that's the way it felt when God asked us to do that, because we had the plans and we had dreams of what would happen there. But Proverbs 16:9 says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. We make plans. We have our desires. We have our dreams. But our plans can't compare to what God's plans are. And throughout 2024, we walked out obedience that wasn't fun. But I can tell you that being obedient and watching Him bless us and the church has increased my faith. Here's the thing, that my walk and your walk are not going to be the same. And what God asked me to do and what God asked you to do will not be the same. God may ask you to do something else. God may ask you to step out and do something hard. He's not going to ask you to do the same thing I did. Maybe He will. But are you going to be willing? The question is when obedience gets hard, will you take the step? I know that there are people that made hard sacrifices last year. I know that there are people who walked out obedience, and it wasn't easy. Will you continue? I heard this story the other day about two guys and that God spoke to, and He told one of them to take 3 steps and He told the other one to take 7 steps, and they both did it and God was blessing them. But then the one that had only taken 3 steps, people in their church, they were like, why don't you take the rest? You see that other church, they took 7 steps and God is really blessing them and God is really doing something there. But God was blessing here too with 3 steps. But He continued to hear the people in His ear, and He continued to hear people say, why don't you take the rest of the steps? And so He took another step, and the moment that He took the 4th step, things began to crumble. And it became a mess. Because He was told to only walk 3 steps. Sometimes we get ahead of God and we rush God and we get in a hurry, or we jump out there and never land when God is saying, what I need you to do is only take 3 steps. But we see the guy over there taking 7. I think about Saul when I think about people who got ahead of God. In 1 Samuel 13, verse 13, it says, how foolish, Samuel explained. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after His own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of His people because you have not kept the Lord's command. Because in chapter 10, 1 Samuel, verse 7, it says, after these signs take place, do what must be done, for God is with you. Then go down to Gilgal ahead of me, and I will join you there to sacrifice the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. But you must wait 7 days until I arrive and give the further instructions. And he waited, but he didn't wait long enough. And had he waited another hour, but he got ahead of God, and he got ahead of obedience, and he did things that he wasn't supposed to do. Lack of obedience comes at a high price. Saul never truly recovered from this misstep. Another hour of waiting, and he would have been fine, but he got ahead of the boat, and he got ahead of what was going to come next. I think about Jonah. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, it says, but Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish, and he bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish, the furthest point away from where God had told him to go. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to tear the ship apart. In verse 7 it says, "Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused this terrible storm." And when they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. We know the story. They end up throwing Jonah overboard into the water. And God sends a fish to swallow him because he chose to go the opposite direction of where God was telling him to go. God said to do it, and he said, "Nah, not me. Somebody else can do that. I don't want to do that." And he went the opposite direction. I think about Moses. Moses is a guy who said yes to God so many times, yet in a moment of frustration and anger, instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock. And because of that moment of frustration and that moment of anger and that moment of not being obedient, he missed the promised land. I think about David, a man after God's own heart. And I think about his battle with Goliath. And I think in chapter 17, 1 Samuel 17, verse 40, it says, "Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in his shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." The Bible was quick to point out that David chose 5 smooth stones. Not jagged stones, not rough stones, smooth stones. When they would cast lots like they did in Jonah's day, in biblical times when they would cast lots, they used stones. And a smooth stone meant yes, and a jagged stone meant no. And so the moment that he got to that brook, he picked up 5 smooth stones and 5 things he's saying yes to. He's saying yes to fighting Goliath. He's saying yes because he's already been anointed king, and he's saying yes to God. He's saying, "Yes, I will obey you. Yes, I will love you. And yes, I will do whatever you ask me to do." 5 smooth stones. David chose 5 smooth stones because he was saying, he was making the decision that day that I'm going to say yes. Even when obedience isn't fun, I will choose the smooth stones and I will say yes. Because I know on the other side of the yes is where God shows up. This morning I'm asking you, will you pick up the smooth stones? Will you say yes, even when it's difficult? Will you say yes when obedience isn't fun? Will you say yes? See, there's no doubt in my mind that God has been speaking to some of you about doing things. Some of you have said yes and some of you haven't. Some of you have been trying to reason with God, and some of you have been trying to bargain with God. But all he's looking for is a yes. Are you willing to say yes? I'm going to ask all of you to stand to your feet. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you once again for the opportunity you've given us to gather in your presence. Lord, I pray that you move across this house. I pray that you move across this place today, God. I pray that you help us to say yes even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, even when obedience isn't fun. Maybe you're here this morning and you're struggling with something that God has been speaking to your heart. Maybe you're struggling with what to do about a situation or a circumstance. And you say, I just need strength to say yes to God in this situation. Maybe it's unclear. Maybe it's unclear what he's asking you to do, but you know that he's stirring in your heart. And you say, I want to be willing to say yes when it's clear. I want to invite you to come. Maybe you're in a season where obedience ain't fun. And you need God to move in your life. You need God's encouragement today. I want to invite you to come. Thank you. I thank you for the ones that responded. Lord, I believe that there are more that need to be here this morning. Lord, I pray that you begin to move in their hearts today, God. That you begin to move in their hearts. If you feel led to come and pray around this altar, I encourage you to do so. And I encourage you to hang around. We've got some specific things we need to pray about at the end of this altar time. But if you feel led to come and pray around this altar, I want to invite you to come. If you feel led to come and pray for the ones that are here, I want to invite you.